Yeah, I think I wrote you. Well, originally I was meaning to switch to more brute than gentle around now. And in fact, last time, in the last meeting, I said, I'm not actually sure what gentle is for, because I thought everything worked on the brute side and gentle wasn't necessary. It's not, you know, by now the names don't really mean much, sorry. But then, partially over reading period, I thought about it some more and I realized that the background from gentle really is necessary. I mean, it's really, you can't really understand what's going on without all this background, or at least not in our current understanding of things, you know. I'm not telling you that this has to be in every course and on the subject 5 years from now, but now that's how I understand it, so there's no way around it for now. So then there will be even a little more gentle than I thought. So anyway, so gentle, I suppose, just mean theory. Okay, so today is totally theory, no computations whatsoever. So, I didn't even put my computer. Okay, so let me remind you where we were. The general theme was that there is a very general notion of an expansion of a filtered object, and many, many, many objects are filtered. So it's a really general notion, and algebraic operations on the original object often descend to operations on the associated graded, and therefore you can ask yourself if you can find expansions that respect these operations, and it's usually a challenging problem. And if you succeed, you find an invariant that has that respects many operations, and we seek such things. So that's the general theme, and it's much wider than just knot theory, much, much wider. However, here is a part of the knot theory implementation. So to remind you, K of S is the set of tangles with skeleton S, and what S will depend on my mood. Okay, so, but really it's a set of linear combinations of tangles, all with the same skeleton. So once you choose the skeleton, you know, you're only allowing yourself linear combinations of tangles with that skeleton. So here's an example, but, okay. Now, I wrote it as linear combinations with rational coefficients. Of course, you're free to change it to whatever you want. But for us, only the rationals will be interesting, will be relevant, okay? Now, this is filtered with a decreasing filtration defined by, so Kn of S is, oh, by the way, sorry, I forgot. I made a printout of all the blackboard shots from last time, and I was going to go over it, but I decided it's better to just put it on the board. But anyway, you can still have a copy. Anyway, so Kn of S is that subset of this which is spanned by knots that have at least n double points, which is actually the same as if they have exactly n double points, where a double point represents an overcrossing minus an undercrossing. So basically, an element in the n filtration is a linear combination with signs, with coefficients plus or minus 1, of 2 to the n knots that are obtained by taking n sites, and in each site either planting an overcrossing or an undercrossing. So is this clear? Okay. And it's clearly descending, right? Because if you can write something as a linear combination of 2 to the n plus 1 things, then obviously it's a sum of two linear combinations with 2 to the n things. So anything in kn plus 1 is also in kn minus 1. Also in kn. Anyway, the moment you have a decreasing filtration, you have the associated graded. So ger of k is, so strictly speaking, the associated graded is the direct sum over all n of kn over kn plus 1. But I'm always completing, so I'm taking the direct product. Okay? So this is the space of all sequences, not necessarily finite, where the nth term is in kn modulo kn plus 1. Okay, and I also call the nth term a sub n, and the total thing I will call a, calligraphic a. And strictly speaking, it's not a, but a of a skeleton, and here it's a n of a skeleton. Everything depends on a choice of a skeleton. Okay. Now, the aim is to find an expansion. So the aim is to find a good map from K of S to A of S. And in fact, the bigger aim for today is to understand what A of S is. Okay? So what's A of S? So it's actually very hard to, well, it's not terribly hard to guess what A of S is. What A is, I'll drop the S from now on. So it's not terribly hard to guess what A is, but it's quite hard to prove the guess. But let me start by making the guess. Okay? So I think I gave you the rationale for why the guess, or the initial piece of the guess, is what I wrote here. So I gave you the rationale last time, but now I will just tell you what the answer is and explain how it is a meaningful guess. So the guess is that at least the following space, okay, so this isn't yet the guess. So the following space surjects into or maps into AN. And then once we find the kernel, we will have a good guess for what AN is. So the space is the space DN of so-called chord diagrams, or, you know, if there is an N here, it's the space of N chord diagrams. So chord diagrams with N chords. And it's the space of linear combinations of pictures like this, where you take the skeleton of S and draw it in the plane. So the plane is irrelevant here. I mean, these are abstract graphs, okay? But for the purpose of drawing it on the blackboard, I'm drawing it on the blackboard. So you take the skeleton and draw it on the blackboard, and then you mark N chords connecting skeleton pieces. And a chord is just the choice of two points on two parts of the skeleton, maybe the same part. And a chord is just a pairing or a line between these two points. Okay? So, you know, more precisely, an N-chord diagram is a pairing of a partition into pairs of a subset of size 2n of the skeleton, taken modulo diffeomorphism. So in other words, if you can move this point if you wish, so long as it doesn't cross over another one. Okay? Anyway, the claim is that such things map into an. Okay? And how's the map defined? So, and furthermore, that this map is a surjection. So how's the map defined? So basically, you want each of these chords to represent, to stand for a double point. So if you have a, let's do this particular chord diagram. So if you have this chord diagram, I want to turn every chord into a double point between that point in the parameter space and that point in the parameter space. So how do I do that? Well, one way to do it is to take a tongue out from here, a finger out from here to here, form the double point, and then come back without an additional double point. Okay? And then do it for each chord. So for this chord, I would take a finger from, again, I will erase the chord, I will take a finger out from here to here, make a double point, come back. And for this chord, I'll do the same. So I will erase the chord, take a finger from here. This time I'll do it differently. I'll go halfway and come back, and come from here, make a double point, and come back. Okay? So this is now an element, so since it has, oh, maybe I made a mistake so this maps to this, and let's call this map pi, or, you know, if you want to be more specific, pi n. And it clearly it maps dn into kn, and a priori it's not well defined, because I made a huge number of choices, like, first of all, how to write the chord diagram in the plane. Secondly, each chord was an abstract edge in a graph, and here I turned it into a part of a tangle, so I had to choose whether which chord goes over, which chord goes under. I had to choose which end of the chord to push. I had to choose, well, and sometimes I did both, okay? So, in Kn, this is not well-defined. So, as a map from Dn into Kn, this is not well-defined, right? I mean, An is Kn modulo Kn plus 1. However, as a map into Kn plus 1, it is well-defined. Because if I wanted to, say, turn this to a different arrangement, so, like, make the other one go under, all I need to do is to switch four crossings. But the difference between an overcrossing and an undercrossing is a double point, and a double point makes the total number of double points one more, so the difference would be in Kn plus 1. Okay? So, as a map into the quotient, it is well defined. At least that choice didn't matter, and you can check that all other choices don't matter either. Okay? Finally, this map is a surjection. Because an element in Kn is represented by a tangle with n double points. So if you have an element in Kn, well, it's a linear combination, but so it's Kn is generated by tangles with n double points. So let me draw one example, okay? And if you have an element of like that of Kn, then it has a corresponding chord diagram. And the chord diagram is just you write the parameter space, and you connect by a chord any two points that are identified in the image. So here you will have a chord from near the top of the right strand to near the bottom of the right strand. And Somewhere in between these two points, there is a cord which connects the right strand to the left strand. So that's the cord diagram underlying this this two singular knot. And you can check that the map pi maps this to that. And therefore, pi is surjective. I mean, I could have done it for anything. Okay? So, right. Okay, so I have a surjection here. And if I only knew the kernel, then by what is it called? The first isomorphism theorem? You would know that an is this modulo the kernel. So next, I want to know what the kernel is. So let me tell you about two elements in the kernel, and or more precisely, two families of elements in the kernel, and it will turn out that that's it. Okay, so. The first family of elements in the kernel is the so-called framing independence relation. By the way, I'm not writing too small. I mean, I'm sort of using the fact that we're near to allow myself to use a small font. But anyway, the first family is the so-called framing independence relation. And it's kind of silly. And in fact, we will immediately drop it. So basically, what's a framing independence relation? So suppose you have an element of Kn which contains a kink, but where you turn this into a double point. But I'm talking about elements of Kn, so it doesn't have just one double point, but it must have n minus 1 further double points. So you have further n minus 1 double points. Okay? So such an element corresponds to a chord diagram that has the kink corresponds to a short chord, a chord that connects a point on the skeleton to a point right next to it. So you'll have a point on the skeleton, a short chord. So, you know, really, I should make sort of the meaning of short, since we're in combinatorics, not in geometry. We're in topology, and in fact, we're in a part of topology that's really combinatorics. We're definitely not in geometry. The word short doesn't have a meaning. So the only meaning the word short has is that nothing else comes in between. No other chord can end here. So, you know, temporarily, and I will never do it again, I can mark it by putting here a no-entry sign. I don't know, is this the no-entry sign? I mean, the one that you see on one-way streets.
Yeah.
So basically, nothing can enter here, okay? But then, there might be more components to the skeleton, and more, this is not a short chord, and more, this isn't a short chord either, this isn't either. So there might be more chords corresponding to the extra n minus 1 thing. Anyway, as an element of, so as a singular knot, that's an amusing singular knot which has a double point. But as an element of Kn, a double point represents an over minus an under, and an over minus an under here is the same. That's Rademeister 1. So, as an element of Kn, this is equal to zero. Which means that this chord diagram, under the map pi, right? So, this chord diagram, under the map pi, will be mapped to zero. So, therefore, this is an element of the kernel. And so, I mean, it's not really equal to zero. Well, okay, the framing independence relation is to say that we set this to zero because it's in the kernel. Okay? So the kernel consists of all framing independence relations, at least, maybe more. Okay? So, having spent half an hour talking about it, or at least a few minutes, the next thing to do with it is to erase it. Because most of the time we will be talking about framed knots. Hello, Travis. Most of the time we will be talking about framed knots, and for framed knots, there is a difference of framing between overcrossing and undercrossing here, so it's actually not equal to zero. But in the unframed case, you will be modding out by this. So, okay. Erase. Also erased here. But still worth mentioning, because, well, okay. Now, the second type of relation comes from the following picture. So, suppose you have a double point and n minus 2 extra double points floating in space, and I don't care where, and a lasso that, a lasso just means yet another piece of the knot. Sorry, Travis, you know this very well, but anyway. So a lasso that goes around this double point. Okay? Then I can pull the lasso out and then push it back in above the double point. So if I take the difference between this and that, then that difference is equal to zero. As an element of, well, it's just stupidly equal to zero. These two things are the same, okay? But on the other hand, I could have gotten from here to here by doing a sequence of four flips. Right, I could flip this crossing from over to under, and I could flip this crossing from over to under, and this one to up. Basically, by flipping each of these crossings one after the other, I could get from here to there. So a sum of four flips is equal to zero. Okay, but in each flip, flipping an over to an under corresponds to a double point. And I have a double point in the center. And sorry, here I wrote n minus 1, I meant n minus 2. And I have extra n minus 2 double points. So I have a total, so once I flip, I have a total of n double points. N double points mean that it's represented by a core diagram, that it's in the image of this pi. So we found that a sum of the images of four core diagrams is equal to zero. But that means that we found an element in the kernel of pi. Now, what are these four core diagrams? So let's analyze it a little bit. So all four core diagrams will have a double point between strand X and strand Y, right? So all four core diagrams will have a double point between strand X and strand Y, right? So it means that they will all have a chord going from X to Y. Now, I say strand X and I say strand Y, I don't really mean skeleton component X and skeleton component Y. I mean, this is a part of a bigger picture. In fact, X could be Y, but these would be different sites near X and Y. So these could be just different sites on the same strand. Okay? So, and then the extra double point will always have one side on strand Z. So there will be a third strand Z and a double point coming from it, a cord emanating from it. And that cord could end either on, so if you flip this crossing, it will be ending on X before the double point. When you flip this crossing, it will be ending on X after the double point, after the given strand. If you flip this, it will be on Y before the double point. I'm just picking an orientation, and when I say before and after, it's relative to that. And then it's on Y after the double point. So again, let's make the orientations match. And basically, this strand, this cord could end either here, or here, or here, or here. Okay? And then there are signs. You see, because the double point, so some of these flips are from over to under, and some of them are from under to over. So some kind come with plus sign, and some come with minus sign. So you can check what the signs are that come out. And they turn out to be, so this option with plus, this option with plus, this option with minus, this option with minus. So this is the four, this is the relation you get. The sum of the four ways of connecting this to here, 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 or here, with signs as written, is equal to zero. So basically, the two things below are plus, the two things above are minus. Or maybe it's the other way around, but it doesn't matter, because up to a sign, it's the same element of the kernel. Okay? Okay, since this relation has four terms in it, the universally chosen unimaginative name for it is the four-term relation. It's an awful name, but that's the name. And the only person to blame is me. No, actually no. Maxim Kontsievich is also to blame. But anyway, this is the four, so this is the more interesting element of the kernel, 40. Okay? I claim that this is all. In other words, that there's nothing else in the kernel. Okay? Theorem, and it's the fundamental theorem of this subject, is that that's all. In other words, Ger of K, which is A, is the space of diagrams modulo 40. And again, if you want to talk about, this is the assumption that everything is framed, or if everything is unframed, the theorem still holds, but you have to add the framing independence relation back again. So, this is a surprisingly difficult theorem. So, 3 years ago, I gave it several times I gave classes that were essentially devoted to proofs of that theorem. Okay, so there is more than one proof, though they're all somehow related, and it's a surprisingly difficult theorem. Let me tell you what the sketch is. Okay? So, the sketch so long as I don't know the theorem, I don't know yet whether A should be this or that. Okay? So let me decree that A stands for that. Okay? And then the problem is to show that it's equal to Gerk. Okay? So with this new decree, I only have that A maps to here, namely this is the projection pi, or the map pi, and I don't know that it's onto. Sorry, I do know that it's onto, but I don't know that it's that I found the whole kernel, so I don't know that it's one-to-one. Okay, so in fact I've changed. Now this is not a map, this is an equality. No, the equality is this modulo the relation, sorry. But it only maps to here. So this turns out to be a common situation where you have a suspected associated graded and a surjective map into it, and you want to show that this is really the associated graded. So let me turn it into a definition and then tell you what you need to do in order to complete the proof that pi is really an isomorphism. So, definition, and this definition is valid in any graded situation, so or any filtered situation, so not necessarily in odd theory, okay? So, a guess associated graded is a graded A, okay, so along with a surjection with a grading preserver, with a surjection in the category of graded spaces. So grading preserving surjection pi going from A to the genuine associated graded. Last time I called it Ger of V because I was talking about vector spaces. I will now call it Ger of K just for compatibility with this notation. But K is really any filtered vector space. Okay, so that's a guess. Okay, and then A expansion, maybe I'm trying to overload the blackboard. Well, I'll still continue with the same font and then start erasing. So an A expansion is like an expansion, but with values in A instead of in Gerk. And the properties are written slightly differently. So it's a map ZA from K into, so an expansion was a map from K into Gerk. So now I make it a map from K into A, such that if you look at pi, so this projection, so it's a map from A to Gerk, and you follow it by Ger of Z. So Ger of ZA will be a map from Gerk to Ger of A, but A is graded, so Ger of A is A. So this is a map from Gerk to A. And pi was a map from A to Gerk, so the combination is just a map from A to A, and the condition is that this is the identity. Okay? Let's make it precise. So what does it mean? Meaning that if A belongs to A sub n, right, So I want to show you what this combination does to A. Okay? So, what did I say here? So, if A belongs to An, then I can push it via pi, and I get an element. Pi A will be an element of Gk, but in degree n. So it will be an element of Kn modulo Kn plus 1. Okay? Okay? So, in other words, it will be some F modulo Kn plus 1 with F inside Kn. And then the claim is that if you compute the expansion on F, right? So basically, I want to compute Gr of ZA on pi A. So I need to compute Z on F, right? And so Z on F should return A in degree N. So this should be a list of zeros up to in degree N, it should be A. And past degree N, I no longer care because I mod out by Kn minus 1. So here it could be anything. So that's the condition. So the condition is, whenever you have an A in An, and you find you find F in Kn, which corresponds to it, then the expansion of F is back again that A. Yeah, sorry, I'm not sure if that was strictly necessary, but anyway, good. The claim is that if you have a guess associated graded with an A expansion, then that confirms that you have the right associated graded. Okay? So, let me take a picture of the blackboard and then continue. Sorry, it doesn't matter. Okay. So, what's the most erasable here? You know, maybe I'll just be democratic and erase everything except this. So in fact, now I can continue here. So claim, right, and meanwhile, I can also bring it up here. Okay. So claim, if you can find such an A expansion, so if, you find such ZA, then it confirms the guess, then A really is the Ger of K, or more precisely isomorphic to the Ger of K, with the map pi being the isomorphism. And so, you know, if A is Ger of K, so the ZA was a map into A, but now it's a map into Ger of K, because they're the same, then ZA is an expansion. And ZA is an expansion. Or more precisely, ZA followed by pi is an expansion. Okay? So the proof is actually really, really easy. So, but that's not the hard part of this subject. Okay? So the proof is, so we have a map from K into A, and this is ZA, right? And we have a map into Ger of K, and this is the map pi, and we know it is surjection, okay? Now, the only thing I need is to know that the pi is also an injection. But now, look at Ger of ZA. Ger of ZA is a map going from going from Ger K, so from here to here. So this is Ger ZA. But if okay, but what I know is that pi followed by Ger ZA is the identity. So I know that pi followed by this is the identity. But if this composition is the identity, then the first component of it must be one-to-one. So the conclusion is that pi is one-to-one, but it was already known to be an onto map, so pi is an isomorphism. But the moment pi is an isomorphism, well, you can identify A with Ger K, and then this will be your expansion. And the condition written here is exactly the condition for being an expansion. Okay. So now let's go back to our picture. So therefore, we seek a map from K to A. So we seek a map Z going from K, so K stands for either knots or tangles with an arbitrary some skeleton, into A, and let me again remind you what A is. So A is the span of chord diagrams modulo the 4T relation. So modulo the 4T relation, and maybe I'll write the 4T relation, you know, since it was barely written over there, let me write it again over here. So what's the 4T relation? It says that if you have, and also let me sort of change left and right in this picture because I'm more used to the, it doesn't really matter. So basically if you have a chord like this, and then the sum of two ways of connecting a chord below that one, so a box with plus inside it means add the two ways of connecting this chord either here or here. Okay? So this is equal to that. Okay? So we seek such we seek an expansion. So we seek an invariant, so it's in particular a tangle invariant, which has the additional property that the additional property written here. But what does this additional property mean? So it means that if you have an if, in our case, if is a not with n double points. So if you have a not with n double points, the value of this invariant, so basically, if you compute z on a node k that has, or a tangle k that has n double points, and let's call this k, then the result should be, so, you know, generally speaking, there's no point writing the zeros. And this is, after all, this is just the sum of 0 plus 0. So basically, the result should begin with A. What's A? A is, well, A is that chord diagram whose pi is our F. So, but you see, if you have a node with n double points, then it has an underlying chord diagram, which you get by connecting the, by pairing points on the skeleton according to how they're mapped to the double points. So this should be equal to the diagram underlying k. So this is the chord diagram of k plus all the other terms, higher degree terms. Okay. So in order to prove the theorem using this strategy, you need to construct an expansion. Okay? How would you do it? In particular, you need to construct a knot invariant. And it turns out that... And I should have said, let me remind you also from this, from last time, that every finite type invariant factors through such a Z. Did I say it last time? So last time I mentioned that I mentioned it in passing, but I'm not sure I said it in detail. So last time I mentioned that I want to go there. How did I say it last time? So we talked about finite type invariants briefly, and I said that finite type invariants of type n modulo finite type invariants of type n minus 1 correspond to disassociated graded. You know what? I'll just state it as an easy statement, easy fact. So, if V is of type N, meaning it's an invariant of knots which or of tangles which vanishes whenever you have more than n double points, then there exists a W going from A to the target space of V. So let's say that the target space for invariants will be rationals. So I mean, okay, if V is with values with values in Q, then there exists W from A to Q, which is support such that W on degrees greater than n is equal to zero, and V is equal to Z followed by W. Maybe just to make it plausible, I'll explain why Z followed by W is finite type. Okay? So suppose you had such a W, so a functional on A which vanishes on high degrees. And suppose you feed into Z a knot with n plus 1 double points, then by definition, Z spits out only the diagram of that knot, which has n plus 1 double point chords, plus higher order terms. So by definition, Z will spit out things of high degree, and then you feed it into W, which kills things of high degree. So therefore, this combination will die on things with sufficiently many double points. Therefore, V is finite type. And then the claim is that every V of finite type comes this way. And that's not hard to show, but I think I want to skip it. But the point of it is, remember the Jones polynomial. The Jones polynomial we showed was a combination of invariants of finite type. So in particular, Z contains in it the Jones polynomial. But in fact, it contains in it lots and lots and lots of all of knot theory. So basically, lots and lots of other knot invariants. So basically, Z, if such a Z exists, it's very, very powerful. So in fact, it's completely open whether Z separate does such a Z separates knots. It could be that it separates knots, it's just not known. It's been time to take a break for a little while. Should we take a break or just how do you feel? Should we?
We can keep going.
Yeah. A few minutes might be okay.
So maybe I'll continue for another 5 minutes and then take a break. Okay. So let me take another picture. You're not bothering me. Okay. So how do you construct such a Z? So there are three constructions of such a Z, and I'm not going to tell you about any one of them except to explain that they're complicated. Okay? So construction number one is use quantum field theory. Basically, you write... there is some quantum field theory called Chern-Simons theory, and I'll just write the formula. So it's an infinite dimensional integral, so it's a path integral over the space of all one forms on R3 with values in some Lie algebra, the Lie algebra will immediately disappear. Of e to the so-called Chern-Simons form, so it's ik over 4 pi, the integral over R3, so this is in the exponent, of the trace of a wedge dA plus 2/3 a cubed, and then all of this gets multiplied by something called the path ordered exponential along the knot k gamma of a, so this is the invariant of gamma. So this is totally meaningless infinite dimensional integral. Well, not totally meaningless, but meaningless infinite dimensional integral. But then what you do is you start manipulating it, and the manipulations are standard quantum field theory manipulations. And you sort of, they're standard, but they still take a few, you know, a good number of hours to develop. They're not trivial. Okay? So you write in terms of so-called Feynman diagrams. And then the result is a sum over Feynman diagrams D. And for each Feynman diagram, you get a finite dimensional integral. So you get a certain a finite dimensional multiple integral of some expression that you can construct out of the diagram. And coming from this thing, there is some expression that comes here that depends only on the Lie algebra. And what you do is you forget the Lie algebra and replace this expression by the diagram itself, so that you get a combination of diagrams with coefficients that are these awful integrals. And that's an element in A, and that turns out to be the appropriate construct, the correct construction. Again, I've summarized, like, you know, much effort in two sentences, okay? So that's number one. Number two, so in fact, the same integral can be written slightly differently. So you use so-called configuration space integrals. Namely, you draw the knot in R3, and you look at the space of configurations of points that are either on the knot or floating in R3, and you connect such knots, and you look at diagrams that connects points on the knot with points in R3. Whenever you have such a diagram, so every chord in such a diagram, every edge here, every red edge, defines a map into S2. Namely, you have 2 points in R3. If you have 2 points in R3, you have the direction vector between them. You normalize it to length 1, and that's a vector in S2. So such a diagram defines a big map. Defines a big map, what should I call it? I think phi is what I usually call it. And it's a map from several copies of S1, namely the points that are on the knot, cross several copies in R3, namely the points that are floating in space, into a large number of copies of S2s, one copy of S2 for each edge. And then so that space has a canonical volume form, namely you take the volume form of S2 on each component, you pull it back to this space, you integrate in that space. So you write the integral of the pullback of volume forms on this configuration space. And this depends on the diagram. So you multiply it by the diagram itself, you sum over all diagrams, you get an element of A, and that's again a different definition of the same invariant. Okay, so the next two definitions, I said three, but there are four. So the next two I'll do really, really briefly. So there is yet another integral formulation using the so-called Knidnik-Zhomolodchikov connection, so which comes from originally from conformal field theory, but it's yet another definition. And then the fourth definition uses so-called Drinfeld associators. And at some point we may come back to this one, but that's sort of in itself high-tech algebra. So whatever you do, it's a hard construction. And I think that's a good time to take a break. So it's 2:13. When should we meet again? 2:23?